Good morning and welcome to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zima. Great to have you with us here. Great that you're able to start your day in this way. Let's do this. Let's do a prayer, and then I'm going to let you know what's happening on the program today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks for bringing us to the start of a new day. We thank you for all the blessings in our lives. We thank you for your presence. Wherever we go, we know that you are with us. We thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus. We thank you for the Catholic Church. Father, we ask you to help us with our problems. Help us to face whatever is in the world today. Help us to deal with whatever it is that crosses our path. We ask for this in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, it's great to be with you. It was a little dark as I was driving to the studio today, but that's okay because we're going to give you, this is going to sound sickening, but we're going to give you plenty of sunshine today, even this early in the morning. Now, speaking of sunshine, guess who's with me? Mr. Dave Parker.
Good morning.
How about that intro?
It was good, you know. You have a lot of power to bring sunshine, well, and so do we.
You are here. Frank Eliason is here as well.
Good morning.
We have got a great show.
That was a corny start.
Yeah, I know. Well, yeah, that's what I usually do.
Where's that drum roll?
That's right. We've got a great show for you today. On the program, we're going to be joined by Dr. Kevin Vost, who will share information from his new book, The Catholic Guide to Loneliness. In addition, we'll have with us Father Jeff Kirby, who will be talking about the new series that he is a part of. It's called Mary, Queen of Heaven. He's been on the show talking about it before. Today we're going to take a look at some of the sorrows of the Blessed Mother. In addition, we'll have our usual assortment of music. So settle down. We're going to be here for the remainder of the hour. Now, before we go any further, guys, I mentioned on the show yesterday that while we were on vacation, I was, and I know this is pathetic, I was dreaming about the two of you. So I had a dream, and I know you're thinking, well, where's this going? But okay. Here's the dream.
We'll do some Freudian stuff.
I dreamt that me and Dave were in the studio doing the morning show. Frank was not here, all right? Mm-hmm. Dave, you and I are doing the show.
Okay.
Somehow, in the middle of the show, mm-hmm. we fell asleep. So the two of us are asleep in the show. Now,
Asleep at the mic?
It's pretty bad. I mean, I can understand somebody listening falling asleep, but mm-hmm. when you and I fall asleep, that's pretty bad. So I woke up, and I noticed that we were off the air for some reason. The station had gone off the air. You were still mm-hmm. asleep. You had your head on the table. You were asleep. I woke up, and I panicked, which is what I do, right? And I said, Oh, no, we're off the air. What do I do? Dave and I are sleeping. Why is this happening? We've got a morning show. We're sleeping. And
wow.
I ran out the door.
There's so much
You were still asleep. I left you behind. I didn't want to wake you up.
Yeah.
And as I opened the door, the station was totally dark, right? Wow. I opened the door. It was light outside. And who was walking toward the door but Frank?
Yeah.
And I said to Frank, Frank, I don't know what happened.
Did he have a glow behind him, around him?
No, but Frank's walking in the door, and I said, Frank, I don't know what happened. Dave and I fell asleep, and the station is off the air. And Frank, I mean, this is so funny because I think this is very telling.
Wow,
Frank didn't say, what are you kidding me? You guys fell asleep. He just kind of smiled, and he said, okay. And he walked by me and fixed the problem.
Yeah, really.
The lights went on. The station was back on the air. And you eventually, Mr. Parker, woke up. But here's what I find interesting about that. The fact that Frank wasn't really surprised that the two of us fell asleep on the air. And he just calmly fixed the
problem.
Mr. Calm.
Yeah, Mr. Calm in the storm.
I don't know. Dave, you've got a psychology background. What's
amongst
going on?
I don't know. There's so much to unpack. How much time do we have?
am I okay? That's my main question.
I think so, yeah. Well,
do I need to roll in the couch?
Yeah, I was going to say we should bring in the couch. Okay, well.
We don't even have a couch, but you know.
I know.
Well, maybe that's in our future.
But what do you think about that? I mean, is that just a reflection on how Frank keeps us up and running here?
Yeah. Something you were processing. I mean.
Do we need to get more
you
sleep?
You were processing something that went deep. And then, wow, we're not on. And, well, asleepy. I mean, sometimes I come up, we're so tired, we're, in a way, asleep at the switch, you know, like, no, I shouldn't say it that way. I'm not, I sometimes
I know
tired.
This was a mistake to ask you to analyze No,
but Gary,
Frank,
sometimes
when
you
am I
get tired.
Learn?
But sometimes the power's not in your hands, and that's okay.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think that's another piece to it, you know, okay. And that's for all of us. I mean, you know, power isn't in our hands at all times. You know, it lays in other places.
Yeah. Wow.
To bring in
I can be deep sometimes.
That is deep because I don't have deep dreams. I usually dream about food. My family laughs at me. I, you know, everybody has these deep dreams. The Lord speaks to them. He doesn't speak to me in dreams, or maybe he does. Maybe I'm just not.
And there was no food in your
dream? I still think
dream?
He just laughs at me, but, you know.
You had no food.
There was
food.
No food. That's
not
probably
even
why
coffee?
I fell asleep. That's,
wow.
That's probably why I fell
right.
asleep. But I've had that dream before where I was sleeping. And I was trying to do something, and I kept saying, I wonder why I can't wake up. Well, it's because I'm sleeping at the time. I guess I'm coming in and out of sleep. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, okay.
Good idea to start with this segment, don't you think?
Absolutely.
How much time
we'll leave
for the
it
gospel?
There, and then we can talk off air.
Got,
wow. Yeah.
But anyway, that was a real dream. And that's,
hey, Frank, what are your rates for listening?
That was a real dream. Hey, Frank, we have a radiothon coming up.
We do have a radiothon coming up, September 20th through the 22nd. Mm. And, you know, there's a spot that just played, and we're going to air the spot. You know, I look at it as a celebration of Catholic radio. We've been around for 18 years. We're going to do it a little bit differently than we have in prior years. So in prior years, we would actually have, you know, we'd interrupt the programming and, you know, talk and like, you know, and we're still going to do some of that, but we're going to do it in a different way. We're going to use recorded programming so no one misses anything. And we're going to structure it in a way that it's a true celebration of all the different types of things you hear on Holy Spirit Radio, from local to national, and, you know, and the great shows that play all throughout. So, you know, it's going to be an interesting approach, something we've not done in the past. Mm-hmm. But one of the things is, don't wait until then. You know, you don't have to wait to donate till then. You know, this is a listener supported station. You know, it wouldn't survive without listener support and prayers.
Amen.
And so, you know, one of the things is, you know, certainly you can do your donation now if you wish to, you know, right online at holyspiritradio.org. So, you know, a lot going on, but there's a lot where we need it right now in the world.
Exactly. Well, I was going to say, Frank, I mean, in like last year, I remember that radiothon, and we had people that we got them so excited, and they were so enthused, you know, with the Holy Spirit and with our work. I mean, people did multiple donations.
Oh, someday. Absolutely.
I mean, I remember taking the call from the same person over the couple days. And I mean, God bless you. You know, so I mean, but it always goes back to whatever you can afford and
absolutely.
Give to us. You know?
Absolutely. You know, this is not to take away people's means.
Exactly.
And, you know, but at the same time, it is costly to run a radio station, you know, the electric alone. So, you know, a lot of opportunities, and it's going to be a fun celebration over those 3 days.
And I'll try not to be asleep during the radiothon.
Me
How
too.
About you,
Gary? Yeah, I'm going to try my best. No, we're looking forward to that. So that's really good. So keep that in mind, holyspiritradio.org, if you want to get a jump start and make your donation now. Let's take a look at the weather right now at the Philadelphia International Airport. 69 degrees under foggy skies. Today, showers, possibly a thunderstorm. High near 70. Tonight, showers mainly before midnight, low around 58. Thursday, another chance of showers before 9 a.m., then partly sunny with a high near 74. At the present time in Westchester, we have 65 degrees. In Bensalem, 69 degrees. And in Quakertown, we have 64 degrees. By the way, one thing we do want to keep in mind, I neglected to mention this at the start of the show, is the approach of Hurricane Irma, all the people who are... In the path of that hurricane. Listen, let's pray for the Lord to take that hurricane and send it back out to sea.
Absolutely.
We can do that.
Absolutely.
You know, we shouldn't give up. We shouldn't just say, well, it's going to happen because the forecaster said. We're going to pray.
Yeah, absolutely. Prayer works. And Frank and I were talking right before the show. You know, hopefully it just degrades from a 5, 4, 3, 2 to a tropical storm before it makes landfall in the U.S. Unfortunately, it's hitting the Caribbean. You know, and they're getting the brunt of it, but it's hitting landmass, and hopefully that
dissipates. It's going to be by water the whole time. It's scary, and so you know, hopefully the people that heed the warnings and you know, when evacuations are ordered, certainly take advantage of that. But the fact is we do need to pray. It's going to hit a lot of different people, yeah. not even just in the United States. Yeah. I think those Caribbean islands are probably even scarier just because of the infrastructure and everything else. So a lot to pray for, but I think there's a lot to pray for in the world right now.
That's
and we'll
right.
talk about that
and
later
keep
on.
Harvey victims.
That's right.
They're recovering, so keep them in our prayers.
That's right. So let's look at the gospel now. And there's going to be some messages in here that underscore what Frank and Dave were just saying, the importance of prayer. Luke chapter 4, verses 38 through 44. After Jesus left the synagogue, he entered the house of Simon. Simon's mother-in-law was afflicted with a severe fever, and they interceded with him about her. Jesus stood over her, rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up immediately and waited on them. At sunset, all who had people sick with various diseases brought them to him. He laid his hands on each of them and cured them. And demons also came out from many, shouting, "You are the Son of God." But Jesus rebuked them and did not allow them to speak because they knew that he was the Christ. At daybreak, Jesus left and went to a deserted place. The crowds went looking for him, and when they came to him, they tried to prevent him from leaving them. But he said to them, "To the other towns also, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God, because for this purpose I have been sent." And he was preaching in the synagogues of Judea. You know, a couple things really jump out at me here, Dave and Frank. One of the challenges to reading gospel readings such as this is that we've heard these stories so many times that we tend to think, oh, yeah, great. But I've got problems in my life. How does this relate to me?
Exactly.
Well, you see an example of the healing power of Jesus. You see an example of people interceding, going to Jesus on behalf of people who are sick, just as we can do for the people in the path of the hurricane, for the world problems, for everything, for people who are sick. We can go to Jesus and say, "Jesus, please heal this person, fix this problem." We don't know what he's going to do, but we can do that. He can fix it. The other thing is, if you notice, the people are trying to prevent him from leaving them. At this point in time, Jesus was confined to his physical presence, moving from one place to another. Well, he has since risen from the dead, ascended into heaven, and he is everywhere now. And I think that's something we don't want to forget. We can run to our local church to visit him in his real presence in the tabernacle. We can pray to him spiritually. He's everywhere. We can't forget that.
Exactly.
But how often do we push people away and, you know, maybe even push away Jesus? And I was struck yesterday, and there's a lot of discussion about DACA. I don't want to get into a political conversation because I think they're dangerous. But having said that, no, the United States Catholic Bishop shared a post about that, and all the people that were blasting them on it, how much are you pushing away these bishops? Listen to them. Hear them. You know, and the Pope and everybody else. You know, this is about bringing it in.
We'll
be right back.
We'll be back with Father Jeff Kirby. Stay tuned.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for September 6th. Today we celebrate Blessed Claudio Granzato. Throughout history, many saints have used their gifts of preaching, teaching, and writing to spread the gospel. Blessed Claudio Granzato used his artistic skills to turn people toward God. When Pope John Paul II beatified the Italian-born sculptor in 1994, the Holy Father called him a model for all religious artists who search for God's beauty. Born near Venice, Italy in 1900, Claudio knew struggle from an early age. The youngest of nine children, he was accustomed to hard work in the fields. At the age of nine, he lost his father. 6 years later, he was drafted into the Italian army. After Claudio completed his military service, his life changed radically. He studied at Venice's Academy of Fine Arts and showed a special interest in religious art. When he entered the Franciscan Order several years later, his parish priest wrote, "The Order is receiving not only an artist, but a saint." Prayer, charity to the poor, and artistic work characterized his life, which was cut short by a brain tumor. Blessed Claudio died in 1947 on the Feast of the Assumption. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
If you ever need home care or companionship service, call Angel Army at 215-805-8433. Angel Army provides compassionate and loving care to those who want independence and the comfort of their home. Angel Army serves Bucks County, Montgomery County, and the Philadelphia area, and can be reached at 215-805-8433.
More inspiring than a cheesesteak. Spirit.
Spirit.
Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Welcome back to Spirit of the Morning. I'm Gary Zimak. That was Jason Gray. The name of this song is Sparrows. The Lord's got your back today. Remember that. Whatever you're going through today, remember, He loves you. If He can take care of the sparrows, He can certainly take care of you. Well, we're joined now by our friend, Father Jeffrey Kirby. Father Kirby is here. He's from the Diocese of Charleston, South Carolina. He is here to talk about the series that he participates in called Queen of Heaven, Mary's Battle for You. Father Kirby, good morning.
Good morning, Gary.
How are you today?
Great.
You doing good?
Great, I tell you. Hey, yeah, I cannot believe it's already September.
Father, I don't know what's going on. I think somebody pulled a fast one on us here.
Exactly.
Hey, Father, before we get into the talking a little bit more about Queen of Heaven, Mary's Battle for You, I understand that there might be a new book coming out soon from Father Jeffrey Kirby.
Yes, I'm very excited. It's called Kingdom of Happiness, and it's based on basically an explanation of life application of the Beatitudes.
Wow.
And Gary, it's one of those books where we all carry about three or four books in our minds and hearts. Mm-hmm. Every once in a while, we actually get to write them down.
Yeah, right.
And that's one of them. Just really believe the Beatitudes are not getting the attention that they need in terms of Christian life.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a real joy to write that book, and then there'll be a DVD program based on the book as well. So really excited about it.
I can't wait. The Beatitudes, I always am looking for new explanations of the Beatitudes, because honestly, I'm looking for that happiness, and I think the secret is right there. So I can't wait to talk more about that. We'll have to have you on the show once that comes out. But Father, for now, let's continue our discussion about this series, Queen of Heaven, Mary's Battle for You. Before we get to the specifics, in case anybody's not familiar with it, can you just give us a brief overview, that's the word I'm looking for, of Queen of Heaven?
Yeah, so actually it's 8 lessons, DVD-based program. So there's a lesson, and then there's like a workbook. And in 8 lessons, we talk about the role of Mary in terms of salvation history. So mm-hmm. from literally the mind of God, so until basically her involvement now in the life of the church through various private revelations. So the whole span of Mary's life in these 8 lessons.
Great. And, it's interesting. I go to Mass. I go to daily Mass at a parish in Medford, New Jersey, St. Mary of the Lakes. They had in their bulletin this Saturday, they are going to start presenting that series, so it's kind of cool that you've made it to New Jersey, Father. All right, let's. I don't know if that was a sincere reaction. I question. All right, Father, let's talk a little bit about continuing this discussion. Lesson 3 of this series brings to light the great sorrows of Mary after the Annunciation, and when we think about her sorrows, what's the takeaway in dealing with the trials and the sorrows in our own lives?
That every suffering, and if people aren't familiar with the life of Our Lady, it was not an easy life.
Right.
And every suffering, every hardship, every desolation that God permits in our life is an opportunity for grace, for divine instruction, and an opportunity for us to cooperate in God's plan. So every suffering, there's a good that God is seeking to bring about. There's a mission he desires to give. So it's not meaningless. It's not pointless. It does not show that somehow God has suspended his divine favor. Not at all. Our suffering can be redemptive. The Lord will not remove it. Never promised he would. But he will redeem it if we allow him.
Father, is it okay to ask the Lord to take away our suffering?
Of course, absolutely. I mean, we know that our Lord is a loving Savior. We know our God is a loving God, so a loving Father. So we can turn to him and ask.
Right.
And it's especially when he says no that can be an opportunity. We say that, God suspends the graces of consolation, but every time he does that, he gives the graces of obedience.
Mm.
So he's still with us. In fact, the spiritual masters say he's closer to us when he says no, because he knows that we need extra help. We just have to say yes.
I think sometimes we can have, or some people I know I can have, this tendency to not want to ask the Lord to take away our suffering. Because, if we can go too far in the other direction with redemptive suffering is very important. It's a very powerful thing. But it's also okay to say, Lord, please take this away. However, if you don't want to, for whatever reason, then please teach me and accept this suffering, right?
Absolutely, because redemptive suffering relies on the Redeemer.
Mm.
And it's completely acceptable for us to turn to the Redeemer and say, Lord, help. This is too much, or give me more of your strength. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief, So absolutely, we had to speak to the Redeemer because it's his work we're participating in.
In the lesson, you mentioned that Mary's sorrows were actually a preparation. What is it that she was being prepared for?
Absolutely, her vocation. I tell you, I think one of the most powerful verses in Scripture in terms of Our Lady is after a relative silence in the Gospels, we see Our Lady there in the upper room at Pentecost. I mean, you know, we can't forget that she received the Holy Spirit with the apostles.
Mm.
And so her preparation was for that vocation to be Mother of the Church. And we see that even today she continues to fulfill that mission by showing us how to love and serve her Son, and when we really need it, by making, we could say, special visits to humanity in order to kind of refocus us to Jesus Christ.
Father, one of my favorite episodes in the life of the Blessed Mother is the wedding at Cana. What can we learn from that in terms of our relationship with the Blessed Mother?
Absolutely. So first, you know, I think it's very endearing that Our Lady was the first one to realize that the wine was going to run out. It had not yet run out. So just that attentiveness of love and service. And, of course, she goes to our Lord. She makes a request. He's, you know, refers to her a woman and, you know, what is this between me and you? My hour is not yet come. It can sound dismissive, but we know that's actually an idiom. Mm-hmm. And, of course, he's referencing later on the cross that he will again refer to her as woman, showing her to be the new Eve,
right,
the woman. But I think that the lesson that we can draw is that Our Lady is always looking. She's waiting. She will recognize things before we even do in ourselves, in our own discipleship. And if we allow her, she can help us, because her whole mission is to take us to the Lord. Mm. In fact, the last recorded words of her, of Our Lady in the Scripture, is actually from that scene. It's simply, do whatever he tells you.
Yeah.
You know?
And I,
that's what stands.
I always looked at that, Father, as after she said those words, really what else was there to say, right?
Yes, exactly. Amen. That's it.
Right.
That summarized her life. That summarized her mission in terms of the life of the church. Exactly. Yes.
There is a lot of confusion with what we call veneration of Mary. And I know we do have some listeners to this program who are not Catholic and who maybe have struggles with the Blessed Mother. Could you explain briefly veneration of Mary, what we mean by that term?
Yes. There are a lot of great theological reasons, but if I can just maybe present a very human one, in that every family, every household needs a mother.
Mm.
You know, in fact, families that have not had a mother either because of death, divorce, or dysfunction, they have felt that loss, you know, because, you know, a mother brings certain gifts and graces with that vocation to a family, to a household. And if we can see that in our everyday life, you know, then that's also true of the household of faith,
right?
You know, to the family of God. So Our Lady comes and she brings the softness and the approachability and the tenderness that we can associate with motherhood. And she brings that so that we can understand the love, the tenderness, the welcome of God.
Mm.
So never a barrier, but always a bridge.
Yeah.
You know, Our Lady seeks to draw us closer to her Son. So I would say to people that are hesitant, like, you don't have to be afraid of Mary, because she lives for no other purpose than to honor and glorify her Son.
Well said. Well said. Father, we have 10 seconds. I always put you under pressure here. Can you give us a quick blessing?
Absolutely. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we ask you to shed your light upon us and give us your Spirit. Almighty God, bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Father Jeffrey Kirby, thanks for being with us. Talk to you next time. You can follow Father Kirby at frkirby.com. When we come back, Dr. Kevin Vose. Stay tuned.
I'm Anna Mitchell with this Holy Spirit Radio News Update. Officials in the island chain south of the Florida mainland are expected to announce evacuations as Hurricane Irma moves west through the Caribbean toward the state. Officials in the Florida Keys say they expect to announce a mandatory evacuation for visitors starting today and for residents starting tomorrow. The Category 5 hurricane is expected to reach Florida by this weekend. Pope Francis's efforts to consolidate Colombia's peace process with a five-day visit produced a result even before the trip began. A ceasefire between the government and the country's last major rebel group. The Holy Father is sure to hail the ceasefire with the National Liberation Army, or ELN, when he arrives in Bogota today, seeing it as another major step forward in Colombia's path of reconciliation after 5 decades of bloody conflict. Even before the deal, Pope Francis had a full plate in seeking to help heal the wounds of Latin America's longest-running conflict while advancing his own pastoral agenda. And the leaders of the U.S. Bishops' Conference have denounced President Trump's decision yesterday to phase out the DACA program, which shields the children of illegal immigrants from deportation, calling it reprehensible. The bishops write, quote, "Now, after months of anxiety and fear about their futures, these brave young people face deportation. This decision is unacceptable and does not reflect who we are as Americans," end quote. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Anna Mitchell.
Gary Zimak, Dave Parker, Barbara Schinkel, Joe Montone, Mark Howe, Jocelyn Martinez, Father Tim from the Shrine of Częstochowa, Monsignor William O'Donnell, Janet and Deacon Rich Napoli, and Father Stephen DeLacy. These are the individuals that create the shows that make local Catholic radio so special. They make Holy Spirit Radio, Philadelphia Catholic Radio, your source for the best Catholic programming from Spirit in the Morning, weekdays at 7 a.m. The Word of God in the Sunday readings, Tuesdays at 11 a.m. Connected in the Spirit, Tuesdays at 11:30 a.m. La Voz de Dios, Sundays at 4 p.m. Częstochowa Radio, 4:30 p.m. on Sundays. Coatesville Connection, the third and fourth Sundays at 11. Our local Friday shows, Finding God in Prison, The Kingsmen, Walking in Faith, Vocation Hour, and Deacon Dialogues. Thank you to all our hosts and to our listeners. Visit HolySpiritRadio.org to learn more about these shows and to listen to past programs.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. A frequent source of conflict in marriage is the very thing that's designed to avoid conflict, compromise. Some spouses think that by doing things differently than they always have, they're giving up their identity. Marriage counselor Dr. Greg Popchak offers a different perspective, though. It's true that each partner needs to take the other into account when making decisions, but a little self-denial is good for the soul. Dr. Popchak explained, "A lot of couples are afraid of losing themselves to the marriage. They think, if I make too many changes, maybe I won't be me anymore. The reality is, we find ourselves by making those changes. We find ourselves in the generosity and the humility and the genuine love that making those changes really takes." This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
You are listening to Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
People drive by, T-Mac on the radio. Got so much on your mind, nothing's really going right. Looking for a ray of hope.
and that was Overcomer by Mandisa. I'm Gary Zimak. Welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. The time right now is 7:36. We're joined now by Dr. Kevin Vost, the author of the brand new book, The Catholic Guide to Loneliness, How Science and Faith Can Help Us Understand It, Grow From It, and Conquer It. Dr. Vost, welcome back to Spirit in the Morning.
Hello, Gary. Thanks so much for having me back. It's a real pleasure to be doing my very first interview on this book.
I can't believe it. I'm the first one to get you to talk about this.
That's right.
Hey, man, I've been waiting for this. This is such a necessary book. Kevin, talk a little bit about why you decided to write this book.
Sure. You know, this is, you know, most books I propose the topic, and this one, the publisher, Sophia Institute Press, Charlie McKinney, actually asked me. He saw a need out there.
Huh.
You know, for this book on loneliness, there's such a growing, unfortunately, such a growing phenomenon in our time, in the United States, throughout the Western world. So I was really fascinated as I dug into it to see just how much concern there is out there,
yeah.
just how prevalent this is. For example, in the United States, it's estimated that over 30% of people say they experience loneliness, and up to 7% say it's very intense.
Wow.
So that could be over 140 million lonely people around us, as many as 23 million intensely lonely people in our country. So certainly it's a phenomenon we really need to be aware of.
I've heard this statement before that it's possible to feel lonely even if you're in a crowd, and I think I can relate to that. Kevin, to me that leads to the question, is loneliness a perception? Is it imaginary? Or is it indeed reality?
Yeah, and that's a great question. It is kind of officially described or defined in the psychological literature as a perceived social isolation.
Okay.
So in other words, it is a perception in that, you know, your connectedness with others. There's a dimension they call emotional isolation. Those really close to you, is there a lack there of like real close confidants? And also somewhat broader phenomena they call social isolation.
Mm-hmm.
You have a lack of friends or a broader network. So it is a discrepancy between the kind of connections you would like to have and those that you think that you do have. So even though it's perception, though, that perception can very much be based on reality. You know, people really do suffer losses. A loved one may mm-hmm. pass away, or you may relocate, or a child may spend inordinate amounts of time, you know, alone. There's all kinds of reasons for this phenomena. So that even though it is a perception, it can well be a perception based on reality.
So it would be unfair to say that loneliness is something that's all in one's head.
That's right. That's right. You know, the way you perceive it, the way you think about it can make a big difference, but it's not all in your head. It is so often based on, you know, the facts of the world out there. So part of the way we cope with loneliness is to train ourselves to think in more adaptive ways about whatever are the facts in our lives that are leading us towards feelings of loneliness.
You know, Kevin, in my work as a Catholic evangelist for several years now, I've dealt with people who've written to me and said, Gary, would you please pray for me? I am struggling severely with loneliness. I know this firsthand, and I've been there at times. I've felt lonely at times. Are some people more prone to it than others?
There are. There's kind of a mildly, you know, even done studies on the genetics of this in almost all conditions. And there's kind of a mild predisposition there. Some people,
okay.
through their genes, may be more little less likely to feel it, but it is in no way an all-determining factor, not at all. Your environment, your ways of thinking about the world, your reliance upon your faith, so many other things can come and alter the fact whether you're going to feel severely lonely. So there's much that
okay.
can be done about it.
And that leads me to my next question. I mean, it's one thing to understand what loneliness is, but is there anything that we can do if we're feeling lonely?
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, the book, I kind of start right off the spot with a practical recommendation. And there are six chapters, and each one of them tries to be practical. Just to give you a brief overview of the focus.
Yeah.
The first one is on psychological techniques of cognitive therapy to give ourselves more adaptive thinking, you know, so we're not so distressed if we are lonely, and we're better able equipped to reach out to others. So that's the cognitive therapy techniques. The
mm-hmm.
second is the development of virtues. The cardinal virtues, the moral virtues of justice, prudence, temperance, and fortitude, and also those wonderful theological virtues that God infuses in us, of faith, hope, and charity. There are ways that the development of these virtues will make us feel less lonely and better equip us to reach out and connect to people.
Okay.
The third is actually the embrace of solitude. As you said, you can still feel lonely in a crowd,
mm.
but you can also sometimes not feel lonely even if you're by yourself. If you have the proper use of this solitude of being alone and conversing with God while you are alone. The fourth is I have a whole section on development of what's called the spiritual friendships. Two great Catholic writers, St. Aelred of Rivaux, a Cistercian abbot, and then, of course, great St. Thomas Aquinas, wrote extensively about friendship, you know, based on, centered in Christ and based on the virtue of charity, the love of charity.
Mm-hmm.
The next is identification with Christ's loneliness. Because some theologians have said Christ's loneliness on the cross may have outweighed his physical agony, I'm sorry, that was so intense. So it's that redemptive suffering and identifying with Christ. And then my final chapter, I have 30 just different ways that we might heighten our own awareness of the lonely people around us and train ourselves to reach out and maybe, you know, give them some support, which can help them and it can also help us even if we're lonely.
We're talking with Dr. Kevin Vost about his new book, The Catholic Guide to Loneliness, from Sophia Institute Press. Kevin, in my life, I have been through situations where, you know, it seemed at the time as if nobody understood what I was going through. And one of the things that I realized was that Jesus is always standing by and I could turn to him. And in those cases, I would actually talk to the Lord and say, hey, Lord, you're the only one that gets me. Thanks for being there. So my loneliness, in a sense, drove me closer to Christ. Would you say that there sometimes is a benefit to loneliness in that it can draw us closer to the Lord?
Oh, you know, absolutely. You know, loneliness can be, you know, one of those trials and tribulations that do strengthen us and draw us closer to God. So we do need to look at that. What is the positive side? What, you know, what, how might we get a greater good out of the suffering we're going through? You know, it can draw us, of course, closer to Christ. That would be the ultimate goal. And by drawing closer to Christ, too, it may make us more aware of other suffering. So we're going to reach out and try to alleviate some of theirs. Because I think, you know, one of the lessons of Christ, you know, I think even on the cross, even with his hands nailed to that cross, he was reaching out to others, to the good thief, you know, to his mother Mary and his beloved disciple John. So we have that wonderful message there through Christ in the midst of his own suffering and loneliness.
Do you think social media helps or hurts us when it comes to connecting with people and loneliness?
You know, that's a good question. And I think, you know, it certainly is a two-edged sword because you know, much good can come from the social media. But I think often, you know, we overshoot that mark of virtue that's right in the middle and go to an excess. So I think there are many ways it's been shown that media can hamper our ability or our likelihood of forming associations. It kind of even started back with television.
Right.
Research shows excessive, you know, unfocused watching of TV makes people less to go out and form associations and do things with people.
Uh-huh.
And then we also see this today with if there's excessive web searching or excessive, you know, focus on the cell phones or people always walking around connected with plugs in their ears so you can't even really, you know, start a conversation.
Right.
So we do need to look at ourselves in those kind of behaviors to see if the things that, you know, theoretically connect us to others are really removing some connections with those right around us.
That's a really interesting point. And as you're talking about that, I'm thinking that so many times we turn to our phones, we turn to the internet in an effort to relieve our loneliness, but in doing so, we're sometimes ignoring people who might be around us who we could go to who could really help us, right? I mean, sometimes it could be a hindrance to turn to our devices instead of people.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So I think we just need to set up, you know, reasonable limits in terms of the amount of time. Then we can step away from the electronics and just, you know, look around at those people right around us to see that make sure we're not missing connections there. And it's just interesting the way that this technology develops. There was even something seen with cell phones.
Yeah.
Over time, when texting came out, now, you know, I mean, and of course texting can be very, very valuable at times.
Right.
But it's gotten to the point where some young people now are uncomfortable even conversing on the phone. They feel like it's an imposition to call someone, or they feel awkward about doing it. So yeah, we have to be careful that these new forms of connections don't actually diminish other forms of connection that are somewhat more personal. Like in a call, you actually heard that person's unique voice.
Yeah, that's so true. The book is The Catholic Guide to Loneliness by Dr. Kevin Vost from Sophia Institute Press. Kevin, is this book available now?
Yes, I just got mine a couple of days ago, so thankfully
awesome.
It's out there through Sophia Institute Press and then a variety of other sources.
I definitely want to have you back on to really unpack this book a little bit more. We're just scratching the surface right now, but where can our listeners go to follow you online or maybe to bring you out to speak if you're able to do it or to purchase a copy of the book? Is there a place?
Yeah, sure. I have my own website. It's drvost.com, just drvost.com. I do not sell the books myself from the site, but there are links to places where you can get the books or to contact me for anything.
Great, great. Kevin Vost, thank you so much for joining us again. Look forward to having you back on to talking more about this book.
Me too. My pleasure, Gary.
All right. God bless you, my friend, Dr. Kevin Vost, The Catholic Guide to Loneliness. When we come back, it's the Be Not Afraid Bible verse. Stay tuned.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is provided in part by Summers & Zims. Summers & Zims provides quality service in plumbing, heating, and air conditioning and refrigeration. They are proud to serve Westchester, Exton, Downingtown, Coatesville, and Kennett Square. They also serve southern and eastern Lancaster County. Summers & Zims' telephone number is 610-593-5129, and their website is sumzim.com.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Luke 4:38, we read that after Jesus left the synagogue, he entered the house of Simon, whose mother-in-law was afflicted with a severe fever. They interceded with him about her. He then rebuked the fever, and it left her. Now, certainly Jesus could have healed her when he first saw her difficulty. But by having the others intercede for her, they were able to show her love as well. As members of his body, we are members of each other. The whole matter of interceding for each other is the way he designed us to act. So, what is the difference between the household interceding with Jesus about Simon's mother-in-law and the saints in heaven interceding for us now? Basically, nothing. The saints intercede for us, and we intercede for one another for the very same reason. It's all a matter of love. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
More enjoyable than Scrabble. Spirit in the Morning with Gary Simak.
Can be. stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be. You raise me.
Raise me up. That was Josh Groban. You're listening to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimak. Thanks so much for joining us today. Let's take a look at the Be Not Afraid Bible verse. It comes from Psalm 71:8. My mouth shall be filled with your praise, shall sing your glory every day. All right, so you're stressed out today. You're worried about your problems. Try this. Praise you, Lord. You are all powerful. You love me unconditionally. You can do all things. And go on and on like that. Now, you don't have to feel it. Doesn't matter what you feel. But when you start to praise the Lord like that, you're going to start to feel that he's in charge of your problems. It takes a while, but give him some praise today, and that's going to start to make you feel a lot better. I want to talk before we finish with Frank and Dave. We touched on this earlier in the program about this whole idea of personal attacks. We see them on social media. Mm-hmm. A lot of controversy going on about immigration right now. We're going to have Deacon Greg Kandra on the show on Friday, and he's specifically going to address the idea of our presence on social media as Christians. Are we truly representing Christ? Now, that doesn't mean I can't disagree with somebody, but
absolutely.
If I'm going to be Christ-like, and if I expect to share the good news, and I'm called to evangelize, even on social media, it's not going to help if I say, Frank Eliasson, I disagree with you on immigration, but it doesn't surprise me because you're an idiot.
That's right,
right?
Exactly. And
how
that's
does
what
that
we
help?
Have. It doesn't help. And you know what happens is we put our defenses up, and mm-hmm. this human nature. We're getting attacked. We view everything as an attack. So, like I was talking about earlier, the post from the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, mm-hmm. and I'm sure people saw it mm-hmm. as they're disagreeing with me, so they're attacking me.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
And so what did they do? They went and attacked the bishops back.
Right.
And to me, that was astounding. You know, it's not what our faith is about. Our faith is about love. It's about mercy. You know, and to see these attacks to mm-hmm. the bishops.
Well, Frank, you on a daily basis, you'll see Catholics on social media attacking the Holy Father as well.
Well, absolutely.
Right?
And, well, there's posts in there that said, hey, this is coming from the Pope.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I know where this is coming from. And it's like, huh? You know, and then some of the posts in there actually were like, you know, you're for abortion too, because you don't talk out about that.
Mm-hmm. Where did that come from? I think this is about immigration.
Just because you're silent on it means you're against it.
I've never known the bishops to be silent on it either.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
You know, this to me, you know, was one of those things that I'm astounded by it. And, you know, because our faith is, you know, it's not Republican. I'm going to read what I wrote.
I'd like you to read it.
Because, you know, I'm not one. It's funny. I'm in social media, but I typically don't post comments, especially on pages of things I don't necessarily follow, mm-hmm. or I don't even follow that much, which is kind of funny that I'm mm-hmm. in social media as much as I am. But I did have to write there. I felt obligated to. And, you know, because of these attacks that I saw, and I wrote, the Catholic faith has never been Democratic or Republican or even capitalist for that matter. This is a human situation that they are speaking about, not a political matter. Jesus taught us many things, especially love and mercy. It is something difficult in these polarizing times, but we have to break away from some of our anger and find the love towards others. Mm-hmm. The love Jesus has shown us. DACA is about people who grew up here. They were our neighbors, and for many, this the country, only country that they've known. They did not make the choice to come here, but they love the nation as much as each of you. We have to stop letting the polarizing world tear us apart or tear our faith apart, mm-hmm. which is what I see happening. Mm-hmm. This is not just on the bishops or the Pope as our leaders. It falls on each of us and our own actions.
Amen.
I was going to say, well, Gary and I were kind of talking a break. Okay, two things in my mind. Well, first of all, if you take a logical approach, basically, I mean, we're okay. It's called ad hominem attack. So we're we see somebody that says something about a policy like DACA, but we attack the person for and not respecting their point of view. They have a right to their point of view.
Exactly.
And but then that's
that
why
line.
It gets so charged. Yeah. And, right. and so people out there listening, we have to go look at the policy. We have to and to be honest. We read what the I just read during that last interview. There are like four different bills in Congress that are recently proposed. But this goes back, as we know, I mean, to the Bush era.
To 2001, yeah.
Yeah, to the Bush era. So the point is, and it's in Congress, that's the next level. I mean, that's where it has to go back to. That's how the Constitution set us up. They make the laws. We may not agree with them.
But, you know, to me, that's the political side to things,
right, yes.
not the human side. I think
exactly.
the human side to things is how we interact when someone maybe disagree with us.
Yes.
You know what? We're never all going to agree on things. Mm-hmm. You know, we could sit here and you know, not agree with DACA or agree with DACA and sit and debate it. But ultimately, it is how we treat each other.
It's respect.
It is respect.
And Frank,
and love.
You touched on something that's so important, and I want to make sure we underscore it before we leave the air. The fact that I can make a difference in the world by the way I act, by my showing love. I'm one person, but I can make that difference, and that's what we all need to remember. So go out there and be Jesus to somebody today, whether it's in person or on social media. Thanks for listening to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimek. Remember, wherever you go today, whatever you do, the Lord's with you. Make sure you say hi. We'll talk to you next time. God bless.
This show is produced with love by Holy Spirit Radio, inspired by the Holy Spirit, communicating